Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Welcome to the God Pod. I'm your host of hosts, the good Lord with the most, the one and only Almighty God. Thank you for joining us as we attempt to restore order to the multiverse. Today with us on the God Pod is comedian Samson McCormick. Samson McCormick is an experience, a down-to-earth comedic force of nature, and has been one of the most celebrated and sought-after voices of diversity in comedy for nearly two decades. A cult favorite with an international following, he's headlined venues including the historic Howard Theater, Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, Laugh Factory in Hollywood, San Francisco Punchline, Harvard University, and has been shattering barriers, like in 2018, when he became the first LGBT comic ever to perform at a Smithsonian institution. Wow. Samson has been featured on BET, TV1, Viceland, in highly acclaimed comedy specials, Pigs Without Blankets with Alan Cummings, and co-starred in 2017's Oscar-nominated film, I Live Here. An award-winning entertainer, publications from all over the world have hailed him as a pioneer, comic to know, and one of the funniest LGBT comedians. His comedy offers riveting, refreshing, and original takes on religion, sexuality, racism, life, and politics. You know, all those things you aren't supposed to talk about in polite company that we talk about all the time here on the God Pod. Samson said in an interview with Metro Weekly of his routine, it's not just comedy, it's love, and it's healing. It's church minus the bullshit. It's what church should be. And I love that.
Hey,
welcome to the God Pod, Samson McCormick.
Hey, Samson.
Father God, I am so happy to be here. Thank you for granting me the day to be here. I appreciate it.
Great. And I'll let you know right off the bat, like all guests on the God Pod, you have a blasphemy pass. You can swear to God as much as you want while you're here. Or not. It's up to you.
Well, don't worry about that. I am a heathen. So we're going to talk about it all and say some things.
Great. All right. Well, tell us about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
I am from Washington, D.C. originally. Shout out to the original Chocolate City. And we need to pray for them because they got a strange situation going on over there on... I don't know if it's Black Lives Matter Plaza now, Pennsylvania Avenue, mm-hmm. wherever the White House is, and some interesting right. things going on there. The right. vibe has totally changed. And my family is from North Carolina. So I had a mix of inner city living, you know, very influenced also by the church and Southern culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you had the Southern church upbringing, but just in D.C.?
No, I would actually, my mother thought that I was going to be a drug dealer. I don't know why, because I stayed in my room and colored all the time. And
thanks, Mom. Well, maybe that was her fear. That was her fear, and you know, it didn't happen. You know,
I don't know.
I had that fear about Jesus too, that he was going to become a drug dealer.
And you I thought he was going to be a drug dealer.
I mean, for a while he was. You don't know what happened between 13 and 33. you know.
Well, he still went out like a gangster, though.
So, hell yes. Hell yeah. Went out like a G. An OG in the OT. So what did they tell you to believe? Like,
oh, my God. If they knew, like my family, if they knew I was doing this podcast, I would get killed. Okay.
Okay, so nobody tells Samson's family.
We have a surprise family. Come on out.
Oh my God.
This is where I run off the set for my life.
The Mari camera following.
Yeah, right.
See, the difference between me and the people on Mari is the camera people wouldn't be able to catch me because I know how to run. But yeah, they were very, we grew up Pentecostal. So Pentecostal, apostolic. That's where you get up at 6 a.m. You eat a nice breakfast because you know you're going to be in church from 8 a.m. to about 4 p.m.
Okay. Amen.
You take a. You, did you say amen? That's cool.
Amen. I'm just imagining in my head. I'm like, damn. 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Is there a lunch break?
That's a job.
Now, so and I forgot to tell you, this is really gonna get you right here. So the air conditioning unit will be broken in the church.
Oh.
And so
I can see it
you
all.
You know, yeah, the black church is all about pomp and circumstance. So you know, you have the usher board who marches in, then the choir has to march in. This is about 50 or 60 people in the choir, and they slow march in, singing this slow hymn, right? And then the junior usher board comes in, then the pastor's entourage comes in, then the pastor walks in.
The pomp and circumstance.
It's ridiculous. And, you know, of course people get tired and they're fanning because it's like 140 degrees in the church. And the pastor sees all of this, and then if the tithes and offerings are low, which they do the tithes and offerings about three or four times, so they'll count and they'll give it to him, and he'll be like, you know, he'll start preaching his sermon, and he'll get real passive aggressive. So people will be fanning, and he'll be like, "Well, if you think it's hot in here right now, it's going to be a lot hotter in hell."
And then at the next round, all of a sudden, there's more money.
A lot more money. And then around 4 o'clock, they take a break for fish sandwiches. And then you come back from 5 to 8, and that's Sunday.
Wow.
So that's what I grew up in.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think people should be doing that. I don't need that. Yeah.
I prefer Catholic because even though it's torture too, at least you're in there for 20 minutes and then you're out.
Right. Exactly. I mean, but the music was good, right?
Oh my God. That's the best thing about the black church is the music.
I know.
Yeah. You know, black people, we sensationalize everything. Like if there was any reason to tolerate the bullshit in the church, it was the music and the food.
Yeah, have you ever been to a white church and listened to the...
It
cannot compare.
The white evangelical churches, we used to go to them when we moved to the suburbs.
Oh, yeah. Were they good? Was the music good? I guess if you get enough people, you find now, somebody who's talented, but they really love the guitar.
They love the guitar. They love that keyboard. See, in the black church, you got the organ.
Right.
They have a keyboard over there, and it's very repetitive hymns, and it is okay to fall asleep in there.
Right.
You fall asleep in a black church, somebody's grandmother is going to pinch you and wake you up.
Exactly. And that's not what it's all about. You want a church to be a place, as long as it has some good air conditioning and you can fall asleep with nobody pinching you. Yay, you're ahead of the game. So are you still religious or did you become agnostic, atheist? What would you call yourself?
I wouldn't call myself any of those things.
Right.
I believe that there's something
right, it's
there
me.
That is,
thanks.
You said it's you. You know, that's running an awesome podcast. But you know, it definitely, you know, humanity or the human spirit is really what I want to get into. Humanity is so vast and so wonderful that you can't put it into a box that's governed by Christianity or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So you're spiritual. You know, you believe there's something. There's good and evil, maybe. Right, but who can define everything about that? Do you think that there's good and evil, or are there forces?
Oh, of course,
of course. Right, seems like it. Well, we sure see a lot of evil, and we do see a lot of good, and we'll get to that later in the goddamn news.
Yes, we will.
So that's cool. What made you want to get into comedy? When did you know?
Growing up in the black church, was highly traumatizing. So
it runs
into the comedy stage. Actually, I grew up in the neighborhood that I grew up in. We had a bunch of characters who lived there. So we had, you know, aunts, you know, to sit on the front porch smoking cigarettes, talking shit about people's kids. So, you know, you might walk past some old lady's front yard and she'll be smoking a cigarette. She might be like,
Your mom ain't found your daddy yet. It's a damn shame she got you wandering around this neighborhood. You need a man in your life. Look how you
walk. Nice.
And then, you know, we had a bunch of different characters, and I used to make stories up in my head about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I saw this show called In Living Color.
I don't know if you remember In Living Color. The best.
Yeah. It was. And it's this is the time that we need stuff like that. It's now.
Yeah.
It could never fly today, but Washington Living Color, the Arsenio Hall show, Martin.
Martin. Oh.
You remember Martin?
I love Martin.
Yeah, those are the shows. And that made me realize you could do it for an audience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, about when I got about 15 years old in high school, I started sneaking out to comedy clubs.
And were you an instant, you know, did you just take to it like a fish to water, or was it hard at first?
So I was used to running the classroom. When you get on a comedy stage, that is not the classroom that you're used to, or, you know, the family picnic where grandma's going to laugh at all your jokes because kind of got Alzheimer's a little bit.
Right. Like, it's not a friendly people, not friendly environment, right?
It's that whole thing where when I was little, I became a comedian because people laughed at me, and it's like, no, your family and your friends laughed at you, but when you get on that stage, they're not there, so you're kind of
it's like when people go on American Idol.
Yeah, well, you want to know the
and their mommy and daddy think they're amazing. Well, so it was
and
hard
only their mama and daddy. Right. You know, the weird thing about comedy, though, and I'm going to answer your question, too. The weird thing about comedy, though, is just like you said, your mother, your grandmother, and they think you're funny. When they get in that comedy club, all of a sudden, they don't think you're funny no more.
Right.
You know, they're so not hard. Laughing with the audience.
Right.
But I've always, and I can say this with full confidence, I've always been naturally funny. Like, that's not something I try to do.
Right. So,
the first time I bombed because I was really nervous.
Of course.
But after that, I don't bomb shows because I get up there and I relax and I'm myself and I think I'm likable.
Oh, you're amazing.
And yeah.
It's great. So those were the shows that made you, you know, the church made you want to, and do you have any favorite like comedians?
Oh, of course.
Right?
No. God.
Hey, wow. I'm blushing.
You know what they say? They say God got a sense of humor, the best sense of humor.
A sick sense of humor, some people say. And Voltaire, whoever it was, said that, you know, God's a comedian playing to an audience too afraid to laugh. And that they must be, because they don't laugh much.
those are the people who don't know how to let go and realize they don't have control. And more of us need to do that.
Right.
And I think we will be able to really enjoy life and have a sense of humor about it if we realize we don't have control. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. My favorite comedians are Moms Mabley. I really wish more people knew about Moms Mabley.
There's a
show that comes on Amazon Prime.
Yes,
called,
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
On that on the new season, yeah.
Yeah, they have a Moms Mabley cameo on there, which I was
excellent
really
show,
to
right?
See.
Yeah.
Who else? George Carlin, Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, I love George Carlin. Yes, and Lenny Bruce. They were on. They had Lenny Bruce on Mrs. Maisel also. Yeah.
Really? Okay, so I got to catch up
on the first season. Yeah, season one. This has turned into a TV talk, and I'm so happy because the world. Politics, am I right? But TV, what are you watching? What's your favorite TV show?
Who else? Whoopi. I liked old school Whoopi in the 80s when she was on Comic Relief.
Comic Relief. I love Comic Relief.
You remember Comic Relief?
I remember Comic Relief. It's yes.
Fantastic.
That's
fantastic.
Where I fell in love with everybody. Whoopi, Billy Crystal's on there. George Carlin would always close out the show and kill it.
And a little background on, because my I have people that love comedy as well. Moms Mabley was the inspiration for Grandma Clump and The Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I remember an interview about that because
Moses knows his stuff.
Whoopi Goldberg, she had a documentary film about Moms Mabley back in like 2012 or something for HBO, and they spoke about how Grandma Klump was the inspiration. But anyway, yeah, there you go. Just a little background there.
Yeah, and that's a great documentary folks have to watch. It's called I Got Something to Tell You, and it's on HBO.
Yeah.
Who else? Red Fox and...
Red Fox.
And I would probably say Paul Mooney.
Remember the Chappelle Show? Did you like the Chappelle Show?
Of course.
Everybody loves Chappelle. this is... Have you seen this guy? Have you heard this guy? But I think you're just as good as any of them. I love your stuff. And I want to listen to some of your stand-up.
Thank you.
Jesus, yeah. can you cue that up? We have some of your clips that I found on the YouTube. And I hope it's all right if we
did you call it the YouTube?
Yeah, I'm old.
He's old as shit.
Yeah.
I just turned 41,000.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
This one's called Being Gay in the Black Church.
Crazy. I don't know. The biggest thing, though, for me, like, coming out was the whole religion thing. Like, that was definitely the whole religion thing. And then I hated myself. And, like, it's crazy because, like, a lot of these pastors, especially in the black churches, like, they get up and they just talk about, like, gay people and how gay people are wrong and bad. And half of them are gay themselves. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it was something I had to deal with when I was about 14 or 15 years old. It was this church that I used to go to. And they had this elder who would get up in the pulpit. And he would, like, every Sunday, like, he would kind of, like, I lost the word. I just had it in my head. He would kind of rotate. There we go. He would kind of rotate the things that he would talk about. So one Sunday he would talk about abortion. Next Sunday he would talk about gentrification, you know, in the big white Caucasian political machine. And then he would talk about, you know, like gay people, faggots and bull daggers destroying the image of the black community. So like when I was like 14, I didn't know what the term homosexuality was. But when he said stuff like kissing boys, I'd be like, oh, shit, he's talking about me. You know, you know, like it was like that. So my friends, I had like one of my friends, he's a transgender woman now, would go with me. And then I just thought that she was a drag queen and we would go. And one of my other gay friends and a lesbian, we would go. And so one Sunday, this pastor put all these sermons into one. He was talking about how gay people cause abortion and gentrification and all this type of stuff. And I think it was because we were like on the third or fourth row. And so he was just like, you faggots and bull daggers, and somebody need to slap some Avon on you girls and this and that. Like the way he was saying it, like he might as well should have said bitches. Like he was really going off. And so like I was looking down the aisle at my friends and they were just sitting there like with their legs crossed and smiles on their faces. And I was like, y'all know what kissing boys is, right? And it was like, yeah, it's homosexuality. I was like, and y'all okay with that? He was like, girl, shut up. So the first time that I had to deal with it, like we left and we got outside to the car and like, I'm like, all right, so what did y'all think about what he was saying, like about gay people? And my drag queen friend, she was just like, child, please, that big bottom girl. Like, you know, oh, please, child, you want to go to Popeyes? We would not talk about him no more. And then like I had to deal with it some years later, like with my ex-boyfriend, because he was a crazy boyfriend anyway. But then religion came into the picture. So, you know, like the church told him, you know, like we shouldn't be together because, you know, or they said y'all can be together, but y'all can't sleep together and y'all can't do this and y'all can't do that. And then I was like, fine, sleep in the bathtub then, fine. And so, you know, he did that. Then it got crazier. You know, they was like, you know, don't kiss him. You know, don't eat none of the food that he's cooking because he's putting demons in the food or something like that. And I was like, demons? I thought I was cooking with seasoned oil and garlic powder. You know, they're doing some crazy stuff. I don't understand, like, why people, especially in churches, like, why they get up and they address that homosexuality, like, we're going around killing people. Like, we're the reason why people don't have health care. You know, we're the reason why people are locked up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there are other things that you need to be focused on in that kind of institution, you know? So my whole thing is, like, I hate when people do these types of things because they affect people's relationships with God. Like, because for a long time, I was like, God hates me, you know. And it's just like a lot of people, they say, well, I look at the news and I see these men in sundresses and stuff like that at gay pride parades. And I'm like, after 2 hours of watching, you know, the economy be messed up and, you know, 5-year-olds get shot and, you know, people get killed for being who they are. I think that it's quite refreshing to see something as simple as a man in a sundress. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, come on now. be reasonable. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand, like, why do you do that? You know?
Amen. Amen. Be reasonable. It's crazy. Exactly. What is up with these people? I don't they know that God loves gays?
No, they don't know, and it's crazy because these are the most hypocritical people on the planet.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think we're seeing that all the time. Yes. And you're it's I think that, you know, that stand up is from like 10 years ago. That's at this point,
I think it's between 10 and 12 years
ago. And it's still as relevant today.
It is. As that's scary.
That's unfortunate.
It's scary, but yes, it's, I mean, it's very unfortunate. Yeah. I mean,
will things ever change, Samson? What do you think?
No, they won't. Mm. You not know, for those people are so right. comfortable with what they know. And I know this might be a little too deep, and I try not to be too deep, but I mean, I think I have an understanding of people that a lot of folks don't have. Mm. People are so comfortable with what they know that they are too afraid to really create the changes that we want to see because it's unknown. That means unlearning things that we've been taught, you know, you know, maybe sitting down at a table with somebody who's gay when you've been a homophobe all your life and realizing that y'all have a lot more in common or that you might like them a little bit. You know, you never right. know. People are afraid of those things. And so that's what it is.
Yeah, it's so hard for people to change and admit that they were wrong, especially when they're being indoctrinated their whole lives by the church. If only, you know, the church could just, like, fucking change. I mean, that's why we have this podcast. Like, change, a-holes. I love gays. I put up billboards all around the country. Did you know this, Samson?
Well, I see all kinds.
Yeah, I put up a billboard. I talk about it all the time because I'm so proud. Why did I do something else? But yeah, I put up a billboard in Kansas near the Westboro Baptist Church that said God loves gays because I used to get all these messages on Facebook from young gay people or LGBTQ people who were like, God, do you hate me? My family tells me that that you hate me.
Do they really write you on Twitter?
Yes. Countless. Wow. Countless. So, yeah, it changes you. It makes you think. And exactly, this stuff needs to go away. I don't know how. Maybe we need to bring back comic relief, but make it something about this. I don't know. people are becoming less religious, so maybe it will change.
Well, if we can, you know, do that and become less politically correct, I think we would be on to something. But the thing is now that people are afraid to have real conversations. You know, if you voice your real opinion about something, then there's this whole cancel culture. Or, you know, I don't like the fact that you have an opinion rather than inform us why you feel like that or why you think like that. What influences your thinking? It's like we're not even going to have the conversation. And I think that's very unhealthy.
That's not a good way to be either. Yeah. But I you know, I get tired of how much like attention like a few kids on Twitter get. it's like anybody criticizes you, it's like or uses the word cancel, it's like you're canceled now. And everybody nobody wants to be canceled. Like, come on. Don't cancel Samson, everybody. He's cool.
That's not gonna happen. That's
No. It's not gonna happen. All right. Let's listen to this next clip.
Some of them pastors that be trying to call them demons, I'll be like, there's a homosexual demon in here. We're gonna cast it out. Yes. They'd be like, the Lord hates homosexuals. Well, Donnie McClurkin, yeah. I seen his Adam for Adam profile, bitch. No, I had this one minister come up to me one time talking about, you know, the Lord hates homosexuals. I was like, God damn, he must despise your ass, bitch. They be like, oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I feel some spirits. There's some spirits we need to cast out up in here. La, 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 la. There's a spirit of homosexuality right over here. This the fifth Sunday in a row. Really, bitch? And I have to go down there, you know, and so when I go back to North Carolina in a couple weeks, I'm going to be there on a Sunday. And I already know I'm going to be sitting there minding my business, and this bitch is going to be walking around the pulpit be like, oh, I feel the spirit of homosexuality right over here. You need to come up for prayer, son. Because that's what I went through growing up. It's like every Sunday, it was like, we want that spirit of homosexuality to come out. Come out, homosexual demon. But I got something for their ass when I get back down there. I'm going to get down there. You know, he's going to be like, I feel the spirit of homosexuality right over here. Come on up for prayer. And I'm going to go ahead on up there and get some of that prayer. We want that homosexual demon to come out. Come out, homosexual demon. I'm going to be like, hello.
I love it. You made God laugh very hard, Samson.
I appreciate it.
I mean, they named you Samson after Samson in the Bible, is that right?
Actually, my granddaddy was named after him, and then I was named after my granddaddy.
Okay, right.
So, kinda.
Kinda, yeah. Have you ever grown out your hair?
Yes, back in the day.
Did you become really strong? No, it didn't work. Okay, so it's a different question.
I thought I was pretty, so no.
Okay. Oh, I love it. Homosexual demon, come out. So when you went back to the church and you did that, what did he do?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if black people, we're very, you know, we always fighting the devil and talking about how we'll whoop the devil's ass and we got power, but if you did that in a black church or in a black home,
right,
they would either A, beat the shit out of you, or B, run. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna say they would try to run first, and if they couldn't get out, then they would just go ahead on and fuck you up.
Well done. I mean, you can make...
Thank you.
I think it's great. It's perfect. It's right up my alley. I wanted to talk about this when you made history by going out to the... you performed at the Smithsonian Institute. Is that right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you were the first LGBT comedian to do so.
Yes.
And you're still working with them today. I think you're doing a virtual event coming up.
Yeah, I'm doing a virtual event with them on October the 15th at, I believe, 7:00. And this is my third year working with them. And I'm very appreciative of the museum for including Black LGBT history. It's in the museum, which is very refreshing to see, because as a community, as a Black community, we still have a lot of work to do with in regards to embracing the Black LGBTQ community and bridging the gap with the LGBT community as a whole. And the fact that, you know, they're including the community's entertainers. So it's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Amazing.
How has 2020 been for you? I mean, obviously it sucks, right? For everybody.
Yeah, it
sucks. You were touring, and now you can't tour.
Yeah, you know, that's the hard part. The mm-hmm. positive, I try to look for the silver lining in everything. You know, there's always something to be grateful for. And I'm grateful that a lot of us got an opportunity to rest. You know, I think a lot of people were tired. A lot of people were working really, really hard. A lot of people who have families that they wanted to spend time with, They got to spend time with those families. Then there's some people who got to spend time with their booze or whatever, and they realize that ain't the boo for them, you know?
Yeah. So, no, you're right. On the other hand, isn't that amazing? God works in mysterious ways.
Very mysterious ways. A lot of people got clarity. So rest the clarity.
That really is an excellent point. And I think everybody has felt that in some way. The unexpected positive of getting closer with your family or... there's been so many benefits. We've had so many people on this podcast who, you know, have been going viral with videos pretending to be, you know, Trump supporters or just random, you know, stuff like videos. And yeah, you have you considered doing any of those on the Twitter machine?
I would absolutely not do that.
No, you're not gonna pretend to be a gay black Trump supporter.
I wouldn't even think.
I think the world is ready.
Well, you know, it's funny because they're out there, but I don't even want people to even associate. I don't. No, absolutely not.
All right, I got you.
That's yeah. Good.
yeah, you don't, you know, because then they're going to, people believe it's real. That's the thing. And you don't want that. That's true. Yeah, it's like people. The other day, it's like, there, you know, there was this tweet of Trump with the debates who he was describing how good Biden was, or he was going to be in the debates in 2012, and everybody was retweeting it. And it's like, I could have retweeted it, but I didn't want to because like, I just can't retweet him even when it makes him look stupid.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's funny because I actually have had some of the log cabin Republicans. Yeah. And those are like the gay Republican groups have reached out to me and they go, well, you know, we want you to come perform for us because, you know, Trump's not so bad and we want people to know he's not so bad. And I'm like, no, bitch, oh, he's hell, horrible. He's
bitch, horrible. Yeah.
And so they go, you know, we'll let people know that, you know, you're not a Trump supporter, but you believe in bridging the gap. And I was like, that's not a gap that I want bridged or to be associated
Hell's
with.
Hells yes.
Hell's but they yes. offer, can I tell you something? They offer really good money. It's
oh, I was going to say, you just turned down a lot of money.
Yeah, they wanted me to perform for 12 minutes and they were going to pay me $7,500.
Holy Whoa! Shit.
What?
Yes.
Jesus yes. Christ.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Dude, you have some serious ethics and morals.
Yeah.
You won't be bought by Soros.
You need a prize. Yeah.
We're all here sitting there thinking to ourselves, what could I do with that
Give
money?
Us that
and
content.
Yes, I know. I'm like, Jesus, we should reach out to the log cabin Republican.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
But I wouldn't do that either. Yeah.
You don't get me wrong. I thought about, you know, maybe I can go buy me a little wig and put a wig and some glasses on and get that money.
That's some tempting shit. That's Satan, though, isn't it?
I wouldn't even call Satan. I think Satan don't even fuck with Trump. You know, Satan don't even want to part
exactly,
of that.
Exactly. Me and Satan argue all the time over which one is going to take us when he dies. And yeah, neither one of us want him. So I guess he's going to limbo. which is too good. Too good.
Purgatory.
We're going to have to make him his own special hell.
Yeah.
You have a new comedy album coming out. Let's talk about that.
Okay, yes. So it's actually out now. I put a new comedy special on YouTube called Church Boy.
Right.
And for now it lives on YouTube, but I'm talking to a couple of streaming services about picking it up. But for right now, it's on YouTube, and I'm very proud of it. It's genuinely laugh-out-loud funny and has really good messages.
Yeah, I was
really
checking it out last night. It's great.
Now, was this filmed over one performance, or did you kind of do it over a few nights?
We filmed one performance on, it was five shows, but we filmed the Friday night show.
Right. I like that you had the two dudes behind you with their shirts off, and they were muscled up and toned.
Yes, they are. Hello.
That catches your attention. You're like, wow, okay, I get it.
Yeah, a lot of old black ladies who like to go to the casino come to my shows, and so they were totally for them.
Gave them a treat.
Appreciative.
Yeah, they would scream out. You didn't hear it because they edited certain parts out. There's some really good jokes that we kept, but right. There were a couple of times where a couple of the old ladies were like, "You're trying to give me a heart attack, boy."
Come for the beefcake, stay for the comedy.
Yeah.
This is great. Yeah, so check that out on YouTube, Church Boy. Absolutely hilarious. And where's the best place for our listeners to follow your work?
So two places. Instagram is the first.
Oh, yeah?
And that is, you can just follow me on Instagram by my name. It's Samson McCormick, SamsonMcCormick. I also do have a YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, Samson 247, I have a lot of great content there. And I'm working on some new stuff, but I like to have a reason to put things out. So as I create things, you know, they'll come out and Twitter. I'm on Twitter. And I think I said, no, I didn't say SamsonComedy.com.
Yeah, SamsonComedy.com. You can find all the portal to all these places. And definitely check it out. Samson, you're hilarious.
Thank you.
I mean, you've been hilarious, but it's always, you know, a discovery for new people. You know, I think I saw you were following me. Like, you know, Twitter notifies you when cool people are like liking your stuff.
Yes.
And so it's a miracle because sometimes like they'll tell you and sometimes they won't. right. But for whatever reason, you know, the universe started telling me and I'm like, who's this guy? I checked out your stuff. And I'm like, wow. Hilarious.
Well, you are all knowing. So, I mean, it just worked out, you know?
Yeah. It's funny how things work out. So thanks, Samson. That was fascinating. Do you care to stick around for the goddamn news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hells yes. Okay, we'll be right back after Moses' word of the week.
Hello, this is Moses, and this is the word of the week. This word of the week is Yalla. Y-A-L-L-A, Yalla. It's one of the most popular Arabic words, and it's also widely used in Hebrew. So, you know, we all share it. Like, for instance, Yalla, just like its Yiddish sister, is used to encourage someone to do something. You know, Yalla, eat your food. Yalla, let's go. Yalla, you said you'd be here ages ago. You know, that kind of thing. And it's also, from what I understand, down on Earth. Y'all come back now, you're here. But don't do that. This is more, Yalla, come back now, you're here. Just add that little A on the end. Okay. I'm sorry it's not more controversial. But, Yalla should understand. I just wrote that. This is Moses. Good boy.
You're funny, Moses.
Oh, Yalla. So it's the same as y'all.
Kind of, yeah. It's really good when I laugh at my own jokes.
I love that. Yeah. I love the laugh.
Then
really,
you know so it's good.
As long as it delights you.
I'm my own walking laugh track.
You're really proud of yourself. With it.
I never knew this, that there's a Jewish word that, you think I know everything, but like, so it's y'all, it's like Yalla.
Yalla, Y-A-L-L-A, Yalla.
Yalla, come back now, you hear. It's really the same thing.
Yeah, well, we never put it in that one because we,
no.
You know, that's down on Earth. That's what the, what do you call them, the Southerns say?
Cracker Barrel employees.
Right. What?
Cracker Barrel. Yalla, come back. Yeah, Cracker Barrel. Like, when do you leave Cracker Barrel? Like, anytime Cracker you come Barrel. Back.
So it's like Yalla going to the bagel shop. Is that how it
works? Okay. Let's not talk about bagels
all right,
again.
Here we go.
Jesus.
Here we go.
Here we go.
That's...
Restarting the bagel wars. The bagel strikes back.
The bagel strikes
back. All right,
back.
So.
Samson, how do you like your bagels?
I like cinnamon raisin bagels Mm-mm. toasted with Mm-mm. butter.
Mm. Okay.
I like the cinnamon raisin bagel, good. But with cream cheese.
Oh, no, I can't mess with the cream cheese.
Why not?
Oh.
You know, black people are lactose intolerant. We can't do it. We can do butter.
So am I, Samson. So am I.
You
but I do it anyway because it's that fucking good.
You crazy.
Guaranteed automatic diarrhea.
Self-respect.
Also, I'm very forgetful. I'm old. So let's get on with the me damn news.
So how about that debate?
How about it?
Is everybody still recovering? I know I am. My head still hurts. I lost some IQ points. And I mean, there were many lowlights, I guess you could say. One of them was Trump. He refused to condemn white supremacy, and he told Proud Boys to stand by during the debate. And let's listen to it for ourselves.
We criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing That's extremist right. groups. Yeah. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups yeah. and mm. to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland.
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing
to specifically
do, that, but
do
it? Well, I go would ahead, say sir. I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing,
say
not
it.
From the right
so
wing.
What are you, what, you look, what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see
well,
peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do it. Say it. You want to call him? What do you want to call him? Give me a name. Give me a
white
name.
Supremacist and
who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacist and right
Proud
militia.
Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem. This is a left-wing
problem.
This is a left-wing problem.
White supremacist. Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious.
That's an idea.
This is what it was for 90 minutes. Talking
about it. You know, I thought Biden kicked his ass. And
he
so
did the best polls. That he could with him yelling in his ear.
I mean,
the whole
if you actually sat there and watched it and just, yes, Trump was being a baby, a child. He's intentionally dragging his nails on the chalkboard, trying to make you go crazy so that you wouldn't pay attention. But if you're scoring it as a fight, as a debate, he mopped the floor with it. But Biden kicked his ass.
I mean, when especially when Biden would like look into the camera and try to talk directly to people.
That was great. Yeah. He's like, he's trying to scare you from voting.
Yeah.
Go out there and vote your vote. That was really inspiring.
Yeah. Yep.
So I thought he did great. The poll said 60-28 thought Biden won.
Yeah.
Obviously we all wanted him to be even stronger. Like I wanted Biden to come out and just immediately do the flying crane kick from Karate Kid.
Karate Kid,
too
Cobra,
much Cobra Kai.
There we go.
Yes. Has anybody been checking that out? Come on.
No, we get just it all. We get all the news we need here about it.
Losers and suckers. Okay, so you come out, you do a flying crane kick, he drops to the ground, and then you call him a dumb bastard, and then you win. Then you win. But you know what? He did even better than that. That's why he's the politician. And I'm the reviled Old Testament God.
Oh, Lord.
Well, now Biden knows what to expect. So this nonstop talking over each other.
Because he can't. Yeah, he can't. The more that he just blathers on, the less chance there is for the truth to sneak out. Like throughout that entire 90 minutes, neither the moderator nor Biden said, you know, mentioned the fact that Trump knew how dangerous COVID was in February.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that didn't come out. I mean, Biden said 200,000 people like once, but apparently Trump had negotiated with Chris Wallace and Fox News that he wouldn't bring up the number of people that have died. So let's just repeat it for the record again. 200,000 plus, it's probably more like 210 now. It's going to be 400,000 by January have died because of this monster. Didn't warn people, still has done nothing. Okay, we all know. I'm going to go, I'm popping off like a frog in a sock.
Oh, no.
It's an Australian. Australian fans have told us about that, Samson.
It's a saying down
they
there.
They say over there, popping off like a frog in a sock.
Like a frog in a sock.
Who
like
put
a
that's
frog
what they say about me.
That's what I want to know. I don't know who's like put a frog holding, in a sock.
If you're holding a frog in a sock, that sock is going to be going crazy, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's just a way of saying somebody's going crazy.
Well, right now we you know it's to be expected.
If you're not
time.
Crazy right now, you're crazy. So yeah, I liked this point in the debate. Jesus, do you got this one?
The shut up man?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another clip from the debate. Everybody loved this.
The American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
Make
court?
Sure you, in fact, let people know
he doesn't
you're
want
a senator. I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the
you
question
want to put a
is,
lot of new
the question
Supreme Court justice, radical
question,
left.
Will you
who
shut
is
up,
on,
man?
Listen, who is on your list, John? Who's on your
line of the year.
I think.
That went viral. I love it. And I mean, he told him multiple times throughout to stop talking, to shut up. Rightfully so. There was another great moment.
He did a good job. Yeah, he'll balancing like smiling and being likable with, you know.
Yeah.
Cuz he could have gone so much harder. But that would have made him look worse.
Well, at one point Biden called him the worst president in US history. That was pretty good.
Yeah, but I think Biden needs to go harder. You know, one thing that I'm going to keep it real
flying
about
crane
is
kick.
He need to go over and hire than that. He need the flying crane drop kick is what he needs.
Oh, yeah? Okay. He needs to just run out and tackle him and just start stomping. Okay.
Yeah. The liberals, Democrats, we need to get dirty. And I think it's okay.
I agree. Yeah. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. You got to go hard. This whole, they go low, you go high bullshit. Come on. That hasn't worked out very well, in the Senate. They go low, you bury them. Okay.
Yeah.
So
if they go low, you go to hell. That's how I see it.
Exactly. You go low, I'll go see to you hell. There. Yes. Yes. You pull them over the cliff with you and laugh all the way down into hell.
You know, there's a friend of mine, and this is a true story. This is actually pretty interesting. He is a reformed stutterer with a speech impediment, like Joe Biden.
You.
And no, is a very, very close friend of mine.
Okay, it was also you in real life, but fine.
But this is what bullies do. He was talking and interrupting
That's
Biden,
the point.
Listen, on purpose to affect his concentration exactly. techniques to keep the stutter at bay. The stutter never goes away completely. And you notice Joe keeps closing his eyes and stops talking to take a breath and hit his mental pause button. And that's when Trump jumps in to try and that's one of the things that Trump's not smart, but he's got people who want to take advantage of the stutter.
Monsters. They're sweeping the leg.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. There we go.
They're sweeping the leg. They're doing whatever they can to cheat to win.
Right.
He was attacking Biden's son. Well, Biden was saying, I'm not going to attack your family. Then so Trump started attacking his son. He should have. And then he was like that my son went to Iraq. He was basically, attacking Biden's dead son. He was like, that's my son who died. And then Trump, not even pausing for a second, immediately started attacking the other son. Because he's Satan incarnate.
Well, that's when I would have responded, well, your wife doesn't like you and neither does your son, so shut up.
Samson, you need to run for office.
Yes.
We need more comedians running for office because that's what it's become now. It's just like, it's a battle.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about nepotism? You appoint everybody in your family to a position of power in the White House.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I mean, come on. Yeah, nobody even has to say shit. They already know. Like, which we really have to say everything. Like, you could fill, we'd be saying it till the end of the time. How much shit this guy has said and done, how much illegal shit. I mean, just shut up, man. It's the line of the year. I think, did you see the different ways their wives greeted them after the debate?
Mm-hmm.
This is great. This just says it all.
All right.
We can't show it on the podcast because you're just going to have to look it up yourself. But basically, Biden and Jill, they did a normal hug that a real couple would do. And what did Trump and Melania do there?
He greeted her like a pet.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little pat on the arm. Hello.
And he tried to pull her arm up because he saw how the Bidens were embracing, and he wanted to hug her, and she yanked her arm back down.
The Bidens were pretty much having full on intercourse compared to what happened on the other side.
Jill Biden is wearing a mask and still kissing Joe. And Melania, no mask, won't even get her mouth near Donald.
I mean, can you blame her? She's a monster too. So yeah, it's the fallout from this. The Proud Boys are so happy. I think, maybe it's kind of good that everybody learns who the Proud Boys are. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think that everybody knew before.
Do they know who they are?
Well, that's deep.
No, they don't. But, they have this name that they've chosen intentionally to try and disarm people and think, oh, that doesn't sound threatening.
The Proud Boys.
And they are just as bad as any terrorist group that has ever come along. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to commit an act of violence to rank up in the group. Or get someone else to beat your ass. You have to, basically they're white supremacists. I think everybody knows that. What's the other thing? You have to go an entire month with only masturbating once.
I'm out.
Which,
so they're just nofap? It's like just the nofap subreddit.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, this is like 4chan and you know, subreddits and all these losers who think they're so tough and so hard. And they're all like, if you, when you see them in real life, you're like, holy shit. Get back on the internet.
Yeah. Well, these people, I meet them and they, most of them, you know, because they come out the shows that I've done when I go to like Montana and places like that. Yeah. Yeah. And
Proud Boys have protested at your shows.
Well, they protested and they've come out. You know, you play a casino in the middle of nowhere, they're going to come out because they don't have anything else to do. And a lot of them are just lost. Like, they're easily influenced. So it's a crazy situation.
Exactly. What are they proud of?
They don't even know. It's like these men, they grew up as little boys who wanted the acceptance of other men. And that acceptance was based on how racist you could be. You know, how many birds you could shoot, like all this stuff that was like manly men stuff.
I think they can't get laid. I think there's a lot of like incels involved in this. You know what? Incels are terrorists too.
Does start like what Samson was saying, so young, like watching their dads or just, I mean, not even their dads, but it's crazy how much of this stuff starts in the home when you're a kid and you're just raised in it. And then you become that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's awful, sad.
So
not to like sympathize with them. Fuck those guys.
The good, yeah. Fuck those guys, or don't fuck them.
No, don't. And you can't for a month.
Because I mean, maybe if somebody would fuck them, they'd stop. But exactly. How do you solve? What are you gonna do about the Proud Boys? I think they're categorized as a terrorist group by the FBI, and they harass people all the time, and they show up at their houses. I was just talking to Vic Berger IV. Have you seen this guy on he does a video editor. He's been going after them. They came to this guy's house and tried to start a fight with him. And he's a video editor because he was exposing that they're violent white supremacists. So anyway.
Who tries to fight a video?
Exactly. And it's like, if you're going to be... It's like their goal is to get their ass kicked. It's not to. So this guy, he chased them off with a broom or whatever. But like the guy.
Like an armadillo or something.
Yeah. This is what my. Oh, I don't know if that's true. That's what my imagination says. But like he just chased the guy off. And it's like, if you're really a guy, why don't you just like. I don't know. It's like Fight Club, basically.
So Rudy Giuliani's daughter calls out her dad's lies on Twitter. Rudy is a big Trump supporter and ally. And
big dumbass, yes.
Yeah, big dumbass, right. Rudy tweeted, Biden is lying about Hunter Biden. The Biden family made millions. Every place Biden was made point man by Obama in Iraq, Ukraine, China, plus 3.5 million from Putin's ally.
Blah, 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 yeah. Yes.
So then... His daughter, Rudy's daughter, tweets, Trump is the one lying about Hunter Biden, and I, for one, do not support spreading false gossip about a politician's child.
Fuck
just
yes.
saying.
You gotta love these kids, the next generation. Mm-hmm. It's like Kellyanne Conway's daughter and like Rudy Giuliani. They should like team up.
Yeah. Give them a talk show on CNN.
They're like, our parents are stupid as fuck. Did you see what... Did you see what Rudy did today? Did y'all miss this? He deleted it now, but for many, many hours, I think it was like 12 hours, he just tweeted the debat, period. Oh my
God. And what did you say?
Everybody was making fun of it. I think I quote tweeted. Everybody quote tweeted. I was just like,
such debat, much lobotomy.
Such debat, much lobotomy. Yeah, I went doge on it. Yeah, thanks, Jesus. Thanks for noticing.
Yeah.
So, Rudy Giuliani, he really struggles with the Twitter machine. So there's so many other stories that happen, gang. You know, if you have any that you wanted to talk about that you remember, you know, just let me know. Or if you're drawing a blank, that's cool, too.
I mean, the big story of the week was the debate. There's so much that happened.
It was definitely the debate.
What do you make of the Commission for Presidential Debates possibly changing the rules? Should they add like a mute
button?
Thank
you, thank you. I was going to forget that.
What can they do?
Add a mute button.
They could cut the mic. Yeah, yeah.
A big red button that says mute.
That's what I wasn't sure why they didn't have that the last time, because it seems like that's like the easiest thing to do is just to cut his mic if he goes over time.
There's so many fun ways to make these, let's be honest, Trump shut the fuck up. Because Biden wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I think the mute button would be the only thing that would work on Trump.
Yeah.
I don't think that would work.
You would still hear him screaming in the background of Biden.
Yeah, it would still distract Biden, too. Yeah.
I think what they also have to, like, slam down a big, like, cone, like a thick plastic, you know, dome over him so that he's just standing there and his mouth is moving. He's shouting, but no one can hear him.
Oh, my God.
I think that would be great.
Or like on Ellen's Game of Games, whenever at the end of it, whenever they get a question wrong and she mashes that button and then they fly down that tube.
Oh,
like
yes.
The bottom drops out.
The moderators need to be more like Ellen. I think is what getting at here.
Minus being a terrible person.
Meaner, yes, no.
Right. Nope.
We need Ellen. We need meaner moderators. And I would like to volunteer, but they would never take me.
How about
Samson? I think you should volunteer.
Yes.
I don't have the patience. I think they need to send Maxine Waters.
Oh, Maxine! Oh, yes.
She would be perfect. You're right.
Yeah. Or Samuel L. Jackson. I've been seeing a lot of that, too.
Oh, shit.
How about the woman from The Weakest Link? Remember that game show?
Yes.
It's goodbye. Back yes. now.
Americans, they need a British person to silence them. You're right.
Yeah.
Trump would just, he would all of a sudden shut the fuck up.
Or you could just put some random old black lady up there, because old black ladies, they don't put up with bullshit.
Exactly. So, yeah. Or just like a babysitter.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you again. Now, you talk again, I'm going to send your ass home.
Slap them with their purse.
I love your impersonations, your cast of characters. It's awesome. So, you know, Trump lied his way through the whole thing, obviously. What else does Satan have? He basically tried to say every single police officer in the country supports him, which isn't true. He said the sheriff in Portland supported him. And then what happened, Jesus?
And then the sheriff that he cited said, I will never support Trump. I never said that I supported
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Exactly. Whoops.
And that's the truth. So, you know, his goal was to get people to think that democracy is broken. And you know what was annoying? It was the media was like, oh, they had a fiery debate and they both lashed barbs. It's like, come on. Trump just took his pants down and took a shit on the floor and threw his feces around, and then they're like, oh, both sides.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's time for our new commandment of the week. Thou shalt condemn white supremacists. Thou shalt not commit stochastic terrorism. Thou shalt not commit terrorism. Thou shalt condemn white supremacists. Let me say it again. Thou shalt condemn white supremacists. Thou shalt not use a democratic debate to issue directives to your violent, fascist, Proud Boy supporters. And thou shalt not interrupt when a motherfucker is trying to talk. All of these commandments are all directed at one dude who will never follow them because he is Satan incarnate. But damn it, President Karen pisses me the fuck off. Seriously, cut his mic. Thou shalt cut his microphone. Where's the off button on this idiot? For the love of me, make it stop. Put a shock collar on his neck or shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. The loud thud you hear as his body drops to the ground would be fucking beautiful. Or ball gag him. That's right. Ball gag that loudmouth motherfucker. Plus a 10-minute timeout in the corner with the dunce cap and the cone of shame. And if all that doesn't work, it's goons with baseball bats until he shuts the fuck up. Here endeth the lesson. The Lord has spoken. If you want even more of the God Pod, join our Patreon. Patrons get an additional 90 minutes of the God Pod every single week. Give it a try for only $1 a month at patreon.com/thegodpod.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.